aṣale o aṣale na ma ṣe
CK Ute, Henry Grimes, and stay tuned for more of the most aesthetic things, feelings in the world.
Thank you. Good afternoon. You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This is If You've Got Ears. My name is Alex, and with me today, very special guest visiting from New York, C. Lavender. Lavender, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Alex.
Thanks for coming through.
Yeah, my first time in Montreal.
Your
what
first
a beautiful city.
Yeah, and you're staying down in the construction zone, so it's loud where you're at. Yeah, so Lavender is, I'll do a brief introduction. I'll try to do a brief introduction. Lavender is an author, a sound artist, a noise musician, sound healer, and just all-around chiller. And you've recently published a book, and in the record, your last record came out when?
2020 on Editions Mingo.
Cool. And the book came out this year or last year?
Also 2020, but kind of the tail end.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's, before we get too deep, I'm just going to play a bit more music. We're going to hear David Rosenblum and Sarah Bell Reed with a track called Never Know Night Ears. And then we're going to hear a piece called Come à la Radio, which is Bridget Fontaine with Pierre Bru. And then we're going to talk to Lavender about sound, listening, and many other things. Stay tuned. This is CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Sur l'autoroute, ça n'empêchera pas de parler d'argent. Ce sera tout à fait comme comme la radio. Ce ne sera rien, juste pour faire du bruit. Le silence est atroce. Quelque chose est atroce aussi. Entre les deux, c'est la radio. Tout juste un peu de bruit pour combler le silence. Tout juste un peu de bruit et rien de plus. Tout juste un peu de bruit, n'ayez pas peur, ce sera tout à fait sur les routes. À cette minute, un médecin alcoolique jurera au-dessus du corps d'une jeune fille et il dira : elle ne va pas me claquer entre les doigts, la garce. À cette minute, cinq vieilles dans un jardin public entameront la question de savoir s'il est moins 20 ou moins 5. À cette minute, des milliers et des milliers de gens penseront que la vie est horrible et ils pleureront. À cette minute, deux policiers entreront dans une ambulance et ils jetteront dans la rivière un jeune homme blessé à la tête. À cette minute, une vieille dame ivre-morte gémira seule au dernier étage sous son lit et ne pourra plus bouger. À cette minute, un Espagnol sera bien content d'avoir trouvé du travail. Il fait froid dans le monde. Il fait froid. Il fait froid. Il fait
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This is If You've Got Ears, and we are back. Myself and C. Lavender.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. And welcome to If You've Got Ears. We were just talking about how suitable it is, the name of the show is, considering the topics that we're about to cover. So I wanted to start by asking you about your book, and maybe just how it came to be that you wrote a book about sound and listening. What brought you to that topic?
Yeah, so the book is called Transcendent Waves: How Listening Shapes Our Creative Lives. And it's kind of an artist's workbook that goes into many different topics about listening, sound, the role of sound in our lives, the role of these things within our creative endeavors. I wanted to create, essentially, I sort of joke that it's a book about sound for visual artists almost, even though, of course, people who do sound works could enjoy it as well. But the majority of books about sound are written with a lexicon that can be very abstract for a lot of people. You know, we grow up knowing how to explain colors, shapes. We have such a visual language from the start. But describing sound can feel really abstract for people. So I was teaching many workshops about sound, field recording. I also have a sound meditation practice where I do these things called sound baths where people lie down and listen to meditative music. And I was finding that people were coming out of that experience wanting to discuss what they felt and what they heard throughout that, but then kind of struggling to know what to say and feeling very intimidated by it. Mm-hmm. Like sound can feel like this very intimidating thing that feels hard to get into for many people. So I really wanted to break the whole topic down, starting with literally like, this is how our ears work. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. that's not something we learn about, and it's such a crucial part of our body, our existence, how we communicate. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of it. So I love, you know, the name of your show, If You've Got Ears. Yeah,
you gotta listen. Yeah. We don't have I forget who said it, but there's a line that we don't have we have eyelids, we don't have ear lids. You can't really turn them off, you know.
Yeah, they're working all the time, even when you're sleeping and mm-hmm. and dreaming, and it's, you're always, you know, scanning your environment with them. So, yeah, so that was kind of the idea. Initially, my publisher, Anthology Editions, had asked me to make a book about sound healing, kind of like a 101 introduction to sound healing and what it is. And there are a fair amount of books on that topic. And I didn't feel qualified to write, you know, a sound healing 101 book, because I've cultivated my own personal, very personal approach to it that's based upon my many years as an improvisational musician, experimental musician. I also studied with the composer Pauline Oliveros and worked with her for a couple years and studied her deep listening philosophy, which mm-hmm. of course was a huge inspiration for the book. Mm-hmm. And I'm just coming at it from a different angle from many people. Mm-hmm. I also, my educational background was in psychology and art therapy. So this book also integrates a lot of art therapy language and expression, and thinking about how, you know, even if you're a baker, a painter, a sewer, how incorporating listening into your practice or creating, you know, special playlists to help you get in the zone can be a really powerful experience.
It's actually a really unique, I've never actually come across that, using sound or listening as kind of to metaphorically kind of approach an artistic or creative practice. Was totally new to me just reading your book. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty useful.
That's what I was hoping for. It's a really small book too.
Uh-huh.
It's very handheld, workbooky. You can just kind of throw it in a backpack kind of thing. That was really important to me too. I worked a ton with the design team to make something that, you know, you could go back to and reference a lot, you know. And that's what I've been hearing from people. You know, I keep it on my nightstand, or I take it on walks with me, and then I, you know, go to a park and I read the book and I think about listening. Like the book has, you know, standard writing throughout it, but then there's also all these pages that I call the sonic inquiry pages, that are these single pages of questions that are meant to help prompt you to consider the role of listening within your personal life. So as opposed to saying, do this listening exercise, or, you know, instead of like a command of, you know, this is what it'll take to get you to mm-hmm. engage a listening practice, I'd rather ask people questions. And, you know, of course, when we're in conversation with someone, you feel like you're having more of a connection if someone's asking you questions. You know, mm-hmm. that sort of essentially proves that someone's listening to you, because mm-hmm. they're asking questions. And I wanted people to create a personal connection in that way, and then they could always go back to those pages for inspiration.
Are those pages your handwriting?
They are. Yeah. That was actually one of the hardest parts of the book. I have very scratchy handwriting.
Yeah.
And I worked a really long time to really delicately, write all those pages out for clarity.
how did you settle on the book is divided up into four or five parts?
Three. Yeah.
Okay. How did you settle on the colors that are associated with each part?
Oh yeah.
Because a very distinguishing feature of the book is that the colors and the sections.
Yeah, I really wanted to make a book about sound that visual people would pick up. Uh-huh. So from the beginning, I was like, I want it to be colorful. Yeah. I want there to be illustrations. And I think it was just, I wanted to also have a sort of meditative quality to it. Like the hues within it are not quite pastels, but they're sort of soft colors. And it was just kind of like the first, I was also very inspired by old textbooks and old early electronics books. Yeah. And things like that.
It looks
and,
like that for sure.
Yeah, and I was thinking about how when you're a kid, you have a colored folder for each topic at school. So it's like science is usually green and mm-hmm. like English is usually blue. And oh, for like the chapter on creativity, it's purple and you're like mixing color. You know, I was kind of trying to get into that a little bit. And then I also created the cover art, which was done with a technique called suminagashi, which is essentially painting on water. And you're using colored inks and you really gently dip them into the water and the ripples in the water create how the ink tones move out. And it reminds me of the way that sound moves so much and you can't really control it. You know, I'd sort of accidentally bump my wrist into the side of the basin I was working with and then you get a whole new wave, or you can use a fan on top of it and just kind of sculpt it. So those were also colors available in the inks that would work with that technique.
Who is the illustrator? Because when you mentioned the old science or old electronics books, the illustrations kind of remind me of that.
Yeah, the illustrator was Alex Toltz, and she works with anthology editions, actually. So she was in-house.
Uh-huh,
cool. She also... Anthology Editions is also connected to the record label Mexican Summer.
Okay.
So I think she was doing a lot of work on the Mexican Summer side, and then we brought her in, and it was just such a joy to collaborate with her on those illustrations. And we had these amazing discussions about, you know, how do you illustrate silence? What does silence look like? And how do you illustrate standing in an anechoic chamber? And I collect old, you know, early electronics science books, and I'm like, you know, some of them, this information's not even accurate anymore. But I just love the charts and the graphs and the way that, you know, particularly science books, they'd be like, okay, here's an illustration, you know, you're trying to explain this scientific idea or concept to someone and make it clearer through imagery.
Were some of these ideas, like, what am I trying to say? Some of the methods that you talk about in the book, were those things that you had come about through your own creative practice? Or were they just things that, I don't know, how did you develop those?
A lot of them were through various workshops I've taught over the years.
Yeah.
I've taught field recording workshops. I've taught art therapy workshops. We were talking a little bit about doing like listening walks and things, sound walks, where you go to a space and you move through it and you focus on listening as opposed to viewing the space.
Yeah.
I've also done some lectures about the neuroscience of sound and what happens in our mind when we're listening and meditating with sound. So I basically just dove into all these notes I had compiled over the years. I've been teaching at a community-based level, not an academic level, about sound since about 2015. I've also taught about sound to young people a lot, like done a lot of work with like preteens.
Awesome.
So that was really great too, because that teaches you how to get to the bare bones of the topics. You're not trying to go over people's heads. You're trying to be like, okay, what is like the core of this idea, and how do I also make that sound interesting and fun?
Yeah. How receptive are the kids to listening, or active listening? I mean, obviously
I mean, they get it immediately.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's something I talk about in the book too, where at the same time, listening is not something we're outright taught. And mm-hmm. a lot of the language around listening when we're younger just sort of says, you know, a parent saying, "Hey, listen to me. Yeah. I'm talking to you. Listen to me." You know, and it can kind of have a little bit of a negative connotation in Absolutely. A certain way. And children have different learning abilities and different, you know, bodily abilities, and there's such a spectrum of hearing and attention span and all these kind of things. So for each person, it's different. So it can be hard if you're particularly in a school setting and just a teacher saying, "Hey, everybody listen to me." Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, maybe I'm listening to a bird outside right now. Mm-hmm. And is that necessarily wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So I want to talk to you about your music practice. That's how I know you. That's how we met through.
I know. I was going to say, I checked, you know, I was looking for your email to let you know I was going to be in Montreal and to try and connect. And I found an email from 2012 when you were touring a bit. And I used to live in upstate New York, and you were thinking about coming through upstate New York. And I was like, wow, I've been talking to Alex for like
a long time.
10 years. And
yeah.
We did eventually host you in Hudson, New York.
Yeah.
John Doe Records with B-Mask.
Yeah.
That was a great
show.
Shout
out to B-Mask, Chris, wherever you are.
Yeah, Chris and Chris Maddock in Philadelphia, yeah. Still holding it down.
Yeah, I miss Chris. I miss all of my American friends from that era. Don't get down as much as I used to. So you just put out the record on, I was trying to find the title of your...
Myth of Equilibrium came out on Editions Mego.
On Editions Mego in 2020. Pretty amazing. I love the cover is so sick. It's like your tag in the dome. So let's talk about the process of making that record. It was, was it all recorded, or were the source material all recorded in a geodesic dome?
It started out as an EP length, and all that material was recorded in a geodesic dome in the Catskill Mountains of upstate New York. And it was also specifically recorded with binaural microphones. So mm-hmm. I was getting a lot of the dome space sound. And what was so cool about this recording space was they had lines set up underground that went from the dome into the proper recording studio station. So it wasn't just like, oh, I'm just in a dome in a field doing this all inside. It was like connected to a proper recording studio. But wow. Then it was so funny because I was alone in this dome building, and then the studio was a little bit across the field. So it was really funny at first getting the hang of that recording process, where sometimes we weren't quite matching up, and then I'd have to go like run across a field to go into the proper studio to like talk to the engineer. But yeah, so a lot of the material is percussion recorded in a geodesic dome. And then initially I had gotten in touch with John Elliott at Spectrum Spools, and he forwarded it to Peter Rayberg, who unfortunately passed away last year. With Editions Mego. And Peter said he loved the album, but he was like, oh, I want more, you know, I don't really put out just EPs. So yep. Then I added some of my synthesizer work, and then that actually made it feel a bit more cohesive, because that's where the majority of my practice is, in like synthesizers and yep. digital electronics like that. So it was kind of it made it feel almost a little bit more true to myself. Like, I think if I put out just a pure, you know, weird percussion album, not to say that it wouldn't be me, but it created a little bit more familiarity with what I typically do.
Yeah. Cool. Let's hear a piece. I don't know if it's off the record. This is Goga Rat.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yeah, I feel... I didn't actually give you any material from Myth of Equilibrium, yeah. But... We could play, but that's cool. We could play.
Or is there, let's look at, hold on. Let me, actually, we got to pay some bills. I'm going to throw on a quick message from our amazing sponsors, and we will come back with Sea Lavender here on CQT 90.3 FM in Montreal, cqt.ca on the web.
MuTech Montreal, the most important festival for digital creativity and electronic music in North America, returns for its 23rd edition at Quartier de Spectacle. From Tuesday, August 23rd to Sunday, August 28th, vibe to the rhythm of more than 100 local and international artists such as Caterina Barbieri, Coro Novoa, Koreatown Acid, Luke Slater, Max Cooper, and Nicola Cruz. MuTech also has a program dedicated to professionals with its MuTech Forum and Market, which consists of 4 days of exchanges and events centered around digital creation. The complete program and tickets are now available at a preferential rate at montreal.mutech.org. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
MTL versus racism.
Montreal versus racism.
MTL versus racism.
A concert united against racism and discrimination.
Un concert uni contre racisme et la discrimination.
Saturday, the 10th of September, 6 to 10 p.m. in Girouard Park.
Samedi, le 10 septembre, 18h à 22h à Parc Girouard Indigé.
Avec des performances de
Jonathan Emile,
Shawit,
Maritza,
Remy Picasso,
Paul Carniello,
DJ Lady Oracle.
Collecte de fonds pour Résilience Montréal.
Raising money for Resilience Montreal.
Tout le monde et tous les âges sont bienvenus.
Everybody is welcome.
This is a CKUT co-presentation.
So we are back. So we're going to play. We're getting some slow loads from Bandcamp to hear Lavender's Myth of Equilibrium track. So in the meantime, we're going to listen to Gogoratu to remember. Do you want to just give a brief descriptor of this piece?
Yeah, of course. So this track was originally created for Send Receive Fest in Winnipeg. And I was supposed to go out there and play the festival in September, and I was so excited. It would have been my first time performing live in Canada, but I had a family emergency come up, and Send and Receive was so thoughtful about the whole process. They let me sort of send some music in lieu of performing, and I kind of quickly put together this track that was the digital audio equivalent of kind of what the set would have been. And then I was just sort of sitting on this, 28 minute piece I had made for a while. And I was like, what if I break it up into tracks and just kind of put it on Bandcamp? So I just put it on Bandcamp the other day, but I really love the piece. And shout out to Camp Scott. Send Receive Festival is a wonderful sound art festival that's been in Winnipeg
shout
for
out
a long
for
time.
Sure. And Winnipeg's a great city, and I really should go visit. But okay, so here we go. This is Gogoratu to remember on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Thank you.
And we are back. This is If You've Got Ears. We just heard Myth of Equilibrium by C. Lavender. And prior to that, we heard Goguryeo to Remember To. To Remember To. Is that correct?
Just To Remember.
To Remember. And in the studio with us, we have C. Lavender today. I just wanted to, you were just before we came on mic, you were telling me a story about the cover of The Myth of Equilibrium, which has your name written on the, one of the triangular panels of the geodesic dome. And you were just talking about the condensation in that space.
Oh yeah. So, the album is recorded in October, a few years ago and it was quite cold, and the way it worked was we would run the heater that was in the geodesic dome, but then have to turn it off for all the recording. But between the chill outside and then the heat within the dome, it started creating all this like mega condensation. I had to kind of move all my music equipment to the center of the dome so it didn't get dripped on. And then I was just sort of playing around in the dome, and just the way that when there's condensation on a window and you just sort of make little drawings and things. And I thought to just write my name and be like, okay, this is the album cover.
Did you take the photo?
I did. Yeah. And then Richard Chartier did some of the design work for the album. He runs Line Records and cool. also a